2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse, starting the 9 o'clock hour, talking about pests and pest advisories. And this is really interesting, this advisory that you have put out for USU.
Turn the remote, turn the microphone.
How do we know when, so these are looking at when they've happened in the past.
Well, yesterday I took three calls from people saying, can I start spraying my fruit trees yet?
Uh-huh.
And I always refer them over to the USU Pest Lab updates.
You betcha.
Because they have the whole catalog of past advisories that have wonderful information.
Oh, I see.
But then when you subscribe, so in the top right-hand corner, there's a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe to not only fruit tree updates, but they have vegetable updates, garden or grass updates, and just general landscape updates. And so when I talk to people about, you know, is it time to spray my apples or when is it time to start spraying for, say, squash bugs, these updates will tell you usually the week and oftentimes down to the day that you need to start spraying.
So all you have to do is subscribe and then they send it out. It's like an email form.
Yep.
Or, okay.
And they don't come weekly, but it's periodically. It's usually when there is information that they need to get out. And then they'll send one. Mara Murray does the Pest Lab updates. Maybe we could get her on the next month or so to talk a little more about those. But especially on the fruit updates, there's a whole team of volunteers that are helping monitor for all sorts of pests and diseases. And that gives Mara information on when to help people with timing as far as when to spray. Now, before people are like, oh, you're just a plant for the chemical industry, you're telling us to spray. There's organic options listed. And not only that, but they list products that you can find in garden centers and farm stores. So it gives you both conventional and organic options. And then it just gives you all this wonderful information on what to be watching for.
I really like this. So all they need to do is go to pestadvisories.usu.edu and then click on subscribe in the right-hand corner. But what I'm looking at just on the main page is the past history of pests. For example, in August, there's an advisory on earwigs and peach twig borer and raspberry crown borer.
Yeah, they're fascinating to read. And if you go back, and there's years of these that you can look at, and if you go back a few years and just start looking, you can see the patterns of what's coming and when to kind of prepare to know that these things are going to be in your yard.
You know, earwigs are a problem in August.
Yes, you need to watch for them. And so, but they put a lot of time into not only saying earwigs are out, but there's an article And it gives you a lot of options on how to control them without pesticides. And then if you need to, you can incorporate a pesticide, but it'll tell you how to modify the environment in your yard so that you have fewer earwigs, and, you know, when to harvest the fruit so that they don't go crazy in your fruit and tomatoes.
Right. I'm looking at March, since we're in March, right? Sycamore scale and anthracnose and snow molds and, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and those are all things. The sycamore scale, you're probably seeing that they're telling people to use a systemic to get rid of it if they need to, or spray a dormant oil. And then the anthracnose, you need to spray a fungicide as the tree starts to leaf out. So they're trying to get people prepared for that.
Ooh, and it tells you when they lay the eggs.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. No, they're fascinating. And so when you go to subscribe, there's check marks that you can just check mark the boxes of the updates you want. And then they just automatically start coming. Now, USU doesn't sell your email to anybody, so you're not going to start getting spammed with, like, publishers clearinghouse stuff. Not that they're spammers, or, you know, we're not trying to collect money for our, I need to transfer $100,000 to you type stuff.
You're not listening.
None of that's going on.
You're not using the list to sell anything. The list is just used to send out the advisories.
That's it.
Because that's what USU does.
Yes.
USU Extension is a community service, right?
Yeah, it's, we serve the community with research-based information. So, yeah, subscribe and get those updates and just know that they're research-based, and we try to give you multiple options depending on how you manage your yard. So,
all right, pretty easy to do, too. Go to pestadvisories.usu.edu. Right-hand corner, it tells you how to subscribe.
Yes.
All right. We have a lot of callers waiting on the lines. Sheila, Michelle, we'll get to you next. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
With the KSL Greenhouse, Maria Anton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Sheila is on the line in Salem. Good morning, Sheila. What is your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions, actually. The first one is, we're looking for a tree that has lots of shade, drought tolerant, fast growing, and leaves that are okay for animals, like if they were to eat them. And we were looking at the fruitless mulberry, but they're just, it doesn't seem like they're very easy to find. So we're just wondering what other suggestions you would have.
Well, you should be able to find a fruitless mulberry. A lot of local garden centers will carry them. I know when I worked at a garden center, it was one we regularly had. So what area do you live in?
I live in Salem, Payson area.
Okay, Salem, Payson. So the nurseries down there, you could check Laura Kay's and Olson's Garden Shop. Olson's Garden Shop has a surprising number of trees. And then up north, if you were to go into Thrive or Linden Nursery or Cook's, one of them are bound to have fruitless mulberry.
Well, we're actually a tree farm ourselves.
Okay.
So we grow trees, and so we get them wholesale.
Okay.
And usually their root. So we're kind of looking to buy in bulk.
Okay.
And we've asked a lot of our suppliers, and they just don't have them. So we're just wondering if there's something that's just similar that we could find more easily.
The only other place I know to try to source them, and I've been out of the industry for a long time, so you've probably already done this, but a lot of the California pole line growers would grow the mulberries, and that's where we would get them, is out of Southern California. So that would be one thing. But for something similar that would grow kind of fast, not be too much of a nuisance, maybe Sensation Box Elder would be one. It's fruitless or seedless, so it doesn't attract the box elder bugs in, and it will grow 2 or 3 feet a year, max out 30 to 40 feet, and it has a decent fall color. That would be one of them.
Okay.
Then for relatively fast growing but not too much of a nuisance, common hackberry would be another one that would tolerate the same soils that the mulberry would.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. We actually have a bunch of those. So.
Yeah, and so the common hackberry is, if you were to talk to Mike Karen, my counterpart, he says it's one that you plant when nothing else survives. And my opinion is a little bit higher of it. I've seen it, and it can grow into a nice tree, but it is known for being drought hardy. Once it's established, it'll go 18 inches to maybe 2 feet a year. So it's another option. And then one other that you might look at that's a little farther out there would be Merlot bird cherry. It looks like Canada Red, except for it gets a third bigger.
Okay.
And it's got the red leaves to it. It's just like a Canada Red choke cherry on steroids.
But it's called a bird or a birch
European
cherry.
Bird, like in tweet tweet, that sort of thing. European bird cherry, but there's a variety called Merlot that has purple leaves.
Oh, okay. Does that grow like the choke cherry, like multi-stem, or is that single?
It's basically a choke cherry double the size, and so you are going to need to prune the base a little bit to keep it from being multi-stem if you don't want that. It just gets bigger. And it actually would take a botanist with a lot of knowledge and maybe a dissecting scope to tell the difference if you cut branches out of both trees. They're very similar.
Okay. Oh, good. Those are good. I've only heard of the common hackberry, so those are very good options. And then my second question is, we have some sunburst honey locust that I think it just got too branchy, and it's only like about an inch caliper, inch and a half, and they're starting to bend. The trunks are kind of bending, almost like it's a weeping tree. So I'm just wondering if we need to just prune some of the branches off. It's
maybe
just too heavy on top.
Maybe prune some of the branches out, and you may need to stake them for a year.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, with you being more of a commercial operation, it might justify that Mike and I could come out and take a look at some point if you were interested.
Okay.
If you would, let me give you an email. It's just gardenhelp@usu.edu. And garden help is one word. And if you'll email that, Meredith will forward it, you know, like an address and contact information, and Mike or I will get a hold of you.
Oh, great. No, that'd be wonderful. Okay. And then one last question. We have a Virginia creeper we're wanting to move, but we're wondering, can you just cut it and replant it, or do you have to dig out the roots?
You need to dig it out, and when you do that, you'll have the main plant, and the roots left over may resprout into new Virginia creepers.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good to know. No, I appreciate your help. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sheila, for your call. Next listener wants to know if they can reseed right now.
They can. The grass seed won't start to germinate until we're regularly in the 50s and 60s, but yeah, they can.
Okay.
They'll want to rake a little bit, get good soil contact for the seed, but yes, they can.
Michelle is in Harriman. Good morning, Michelle. What is your question?
I am thinking of building a raised garden bed in my backyard, and I'm seeing online systems, self-watering systems, where they put the corrugated pipe down in the bottom with a PVC to feed water into the bottom. Have you ever used that? Do you know if that system works?
Every time I see these systems, the idea is really good, but sometimes in practice they are not as good. And so all I could really tell you is you could try and see how it worked. And with it being down there, you're not really out anything as far as plant health, but you still may end up having to water from the top with a hose sprinkler or something. I mean, I would almost, if you wanted something more automatic, I'd almost rather see you getting like a battery-operated timer that had drip or something on it that just you'd hook a hose up to it and let it automatically irrigate itself with a timer.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, Michelle, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, when can they prune an Oregon grape? Do they need to wait till after the flowers have dropped?
Not necessarily. If they want to get it done, they can. I would try using renewal pruning. I know those get really thick and they're a little bit scratchy because the leaves are evergreen and have a little bit of a scratch to them. They're not really thorny, but you want to wear a long sleeve shirt or something. If they wanted to do it, they could. They just lose some of the flowers, but otherwise they could do it as soon as it's done flowering.
Okay. So, but if you want the flowers, then let it flower first.
Correct.
Okay. Next listener is in Draper. They have willow trees in the neighborhood and that are being blamed for flooding by clogging the drainage system that a builder installed due to a low water table. Can one species of a tree really be called out like that? Could you really say that the willow trees? Willow trees.
Okay. So willow trees have very shallow, aggressive root systems. And if there was a drain installed that has water in it that's draining out, those willow roots could get under and next to the pipe. And as those roots grow, crack it, heave it, grow into it, and clog it.
Okay, so they were actually wondering if that was possible for one
absolutely.
Tree. Absolutely.
If it's a willow tree, those things are... I remember the whomping willow.
You didn't want to say evil, but you did.
They're not. The whomping willow from Harry Potter,
right.
How it was grabbing the car and whomping it and trying. Their root systems are actually kind of like that. They can heave cement and do some things. One thing they might be able to do is find one of these plumbing companies that will scope the pipe for $40 or $50 with a camera to see what's going on.
Our next listener says they have pockets of crabgrass in their lawn trying to take over. When can they dig it out and reseed?
Well, if it's still there, it's not crabgrass unless it's really, really dead. And so it could be any number of things. And so if it greens up in the spring with the regular lawn grass, it's not crabgrass. And so they would let it green up, spray it out, and then dig it.
All right. Next listener says, their rose bush is budding. Is it too early to trim it?
Nah, get on it. That's one of the potential topics for today was pruning roses, but they need to be pruned in mid-March.
Okay. One more before the break. They have a huge silver maple stump ground out. They did have one ground out. What about putting the sawdust on their lawn and beds?
It's probably too chunky to do that. If they put it, they could use it as a mulch in their beds and put it on top of the soil for weed prevention, and that would be fine.
Okay, it won't rob it of whatever it
needs. If it's just laid on the soil surface, no. If they tilled it in, that would rob the soil of a lot of nitrogen, and they would have to put down additional lawn fertilizer.
All right. We're going to take a break. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Martin, you're next on the line when we come back. And number to text, 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Have you ever wanted to grow your own plants from seed? Learn seed starting basics with the USU Botanical Center on Wednesday, March 22nd from 4 to 6. Learn more at extension.usu.edu. Get the dirt on dirt with Weber Basin Water. Learn all about soils and composting on Thursday, March 30th at 6:30. Register at WeberBasin.com. Learn the best trees and shrubs for Utah with the Conservation Garden Park. The virtual class will be held on March 30th from 6 to 7. Sign up at conservationgardenpark.org. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
We've been getting a lot of questions about how to prune overly grown shrubs. You use a technique called renewal pruning, where you remove around 25% of the branches from the base of the shrub, starting with the biggest branches. After you do this, you can give the shrub a light haircut to tidy it up. This reduces the size of the shrub by 25 to 30% at least, and keeps it quite healthy.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.